Hello, and welcome to Peter Pan Man Dan, a podcast about fatherhood. I'm Dan, a screenwriter and first-time father, and these are my adventures. This episode is called Our Little Bundle of Secrecy, and is about us trying to keep our pregnancy a secret. The weird thing about finding out your wife is pregnant is everything. More specifically, I found it strange that you have this massive, life-altering news and you can't tell anyone. Following the pregnancy test, I wanted to shout, "My wife is pregnant! We're creating life! We're basically gods!" to the world from the highest point I could find, which was probably the couch in my living room. But instead, I was instructed to stay off the furniture and say nothing, sworn to secrecy, almost like it was a relationship trust exercise. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm not great at shutting my yapper. I mean, I have a podcast, for Christ's sake, and my book, Home is Burning, might as well have been called Shit People in My Life Don't Want You to Know About Them. So, I knew saying nothing was going to be a challenge. I understood why silence was the right move, though. A lot can happen in the early stages of pregnancy. Miscarriages are more common than any of us in the non-breeding population realize. I guess people don't really talk about them because they're so goddamn sad and tragic. They're truly one of the harder things one can go through in life. Meredith works in finance and knows a lot more about numbers and percentages and EBITDA than most people, certainly more than I do. She gave me a rundown of all of the miscarriage odds. 10 to 15% of pregnancies end in miscarriage, most of them occurring in the first few weeks. The rate of miscarriage then goes down to 2 to 4% during the second half of the first trimester. Then, to less than 1% between weeks 13 and 20. So, given these general probabilities, we figured that we needed to make it to about the 20-week mark before I could start running my big, fat mouth about the pregnancy. "Let's wait until the 20-week appointment before we blast the news out to everyone," said logical Meredith. "Okay, cool. I'll take down all my tweets and Facebook posts about it then," I joked. "You tweeted about it?" Meredith asked. "Just goofing. A little pregnancy goof there," I goofed. So, we entered that phase of the pregnancy where we were excited and hopeful and joyous, but also nervous and cautious and paranoid, hoping that everything was going to go well. We were careful about how we spoke about the news, even to each other. Anytime either of us mentioned the baby, we would tag a, "if everything goes okay," or a, "knock on wood," just to ensure that we weren't jinxing ourselves. Luckily, Meredith was feeling pretty good. The only noticeable change was that she was sleeping and eating more. "Well, you're sleeping and eating for two now, so it makes sense. Eat and sleep all you want, sweet one," I said, practically breaking the world record for most supportive partner ever. Meredith had read somewhere that if she ate every couple of hours, she could avoid some of the morning sickness and nausea common in the first trimester. So she started snacking more, which I, being one of the greatest snackers in the history of snacking, was totally cool with. "Let me know if you want some of my pretzels," I said, pointing to my supply, which usually runs in the 5 to 10 bag range. "I legitimately don't know how anyone consumes as many pretzels as you do, pregnant or not," she joked. "What? I can't hear you over all of the pretzels I'm chewing," I said with my mouth full of pretzels. The biggest issue we were bumping up against wasn't anything related to the pregnancy. It was pandemic fatigue. We were now 8 months in, and like most people, were starting to wear down, both mentally and physically. The intensity of the world was exhausting. All the death, all the infighting amongst Americans over stupid shit like masks, all the anxiety you felt anytime you left your house. Santa Monica was particularly strict about all the COVID protocols. Restaurants, beaches, movie theaters, gyms, and most stores were closed. They even put a fence around the park closest to our house, which was one of our dog Maple's favorite places to stick her adorable snout in the air and take in the smells. We were thankful to be living in a place that was taking it seriously, but not leaving our 1,000-square-foot condo was starting to break us. We were all living our own versions of Groundhog Day, except we couldn't even go to the Punxsutawney Groundhog Festival because we couldn't gather with other people. Meredith and I were stuck with each other and our little bundle of secrecy. Groundhog Day with me isn't as fun as it is with Bill Murray. All the brooding over my scripts and career, The panic attacks and emotional meltdowns during Utah Jazz games, the stuffing my fat face with pretzels, made me into a shitty pandemic partner. The only thing we had to look forward to was watching 30 Rock episodes at the end of the day to try to cleanse our palates of all the suck and shittiness. We needed a break, especially since our lives were going to get hectic once the baby arrived, if everything went okay. Meredith and my wedding anniversary is December 15th. In pre-COVID times, we'd take an end-of-the-year anniversary trip. It was our one big splurge of the year. We had gone to Paris one year, St. Lucia another, and had our eyes on Japan or Hawaii. Given the pandemic, it was trending towards us not taking a trip this year, but we started to think that if we didn't take a break now, we might lose our minds and not get another chance for a long time. "I think I'm going to have a nervous breakdown if I don't take a trip," Meredith mentioned one night, looking like she might have a nervous breakdown. "Well, don't do that. We have a baby on the way, knock on wood," I said. "You'd be having a nervous breakdown for two." "Even more reason to take a trip," Meredith said. I was the one more nervous about traveling. I was a germaphobe before the pandemic, so you can only imagine what I was like during the pandemic. But I was also worried that my wife would actually have a nervous breakdown and it would affect her health and the pregnancy. There were ways to travel safely. I had the best N95 mask money could buy. A doctor friend had remarked that I could walk through a cloud of COVID in it and be fine. Meredith had also traveled to Las Vegas over the summer for a bridal shower and brought back a giant wind face shield as a goof. So I could also wear that. Airplanes were now equipped with HEPA air filters. Middle seats were blocked. I was probably safe to go. "Yeah, okay, let's take a trip," I tentatively said. So we started looking into destinations. We eventually settled on a series of islands in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean called Turks and Caicos. Pictures made it appear like it was some sort of heaven on earth type of place. And their capital was called Cockburn Town, which I thought was funny. "Cockburn, that's funny," my immature Peter Pan ass said to Meredith. "Jesus, stop with that. You're going to be a father soon," said Meredith. "Knock on wood," I said. The Turks and Caicos government required that every traveler get a COVID test before arrival, them forming a sort of NBA bubble type of situation. So, it felt especially safe. I was sold. We booked everything at a resort that required masks in all common areas and only had outdoor dining options. Meredith flew out to New Jersey a week early so she could be pampered by her big-hearted parents. They're way better at taking care of her than I am, showering her with breakfast sandwiches, homemade chicken parm, and the best pizza in the world. I got my negative COVID test, then flew out in my wind face shield and N95 mask. My laptop bag was bulging with wipes and disinfectant sprays. My hands were lathered in enough Purell to kill every COVID germ in the world. The flight was mostly fine, but as we were landing, it got turbulent. Then it happened. A 10-year-old girl sitting across the aisle from me started vomiting onto the walkway. "Jesus Christ!" I shouted as I grabbed my laptop bag and picked up my feet to dodge the trickling vomit. It was easily the grossest thing I've seen on an airplane, and it had to happen during a pandemic when I was already freaked out. I was going to yell at this little girl, but she was young, innocent, clearly embarrassed. So instead, I just shook my head in disbelief, mumbled a couple more "Jesus Christ," and reapplied the Purell. I survived! I met up with Meredith, spent a few days watching football with her dad, who might be the only person on Earth who likes fantasy football more than I do. The perfect father-in-law for me. Then, we were off to Turks. When you've been sitting inside watching episodes of 30 Rock for 8 months, you forget how beautiful the world is. That's what I thought as we were landing on this sandy island surrounded by turquoise water. Once we arrived, they took our temperature and squirted some hand sanitizer into my already lathered palm. I was extremely relieved that they were taking the COVID thing as seriously as I was. "Pretty great about the hand sanitizer, right?" I said. "Stop with the hand sanitizer and look around. This is heaven," Meredith said, instantly looking more refreshed, the rejuvenation process already beginning. We got to our resort and checked in. As we did, I got an idea. The resort was only at about 50% capacity because of COVID. We had booked a standard room, but on our honeymoon trip to St. Lucia, I had told the hotel that it was our honeymoon, so they had given us an upgrade. Another year, I had mentioned that it was our anniversary. Same thing, upgraded room. But what could the occasion be this time? I looked over at Meredith. She was sporting an ever-so-slight bump that most people probably assumed was the quarantine 15. Not very pregnant, but pregnant enough. So I decided to break our little code of secrecy. Wanted to see about a room upgrade. She's pregnant, so I said. Oh, congratulations, the receptionist said, then started typing away on her check-in keyboard. The next thing we knew, we were standing in a suite bigger than our apartment, with views of the pool and ocean. Probably the nicest place I've ever stayed. Wow, this is amazing, said Meredith. Yeah, wow, this pregnancy is already paying off, I said. I'm still not sure we should be telling people about it, said Meredith. Relax, we'll never see these people again, I said. That's true, she said. Let's just remember to knock on wood. Holy shit, this room has a jacuzzi tub, I said. The resort was amazing. It was one of those places where it's impossible not to relax, to let your worries melt away under the sun, and take that 500-foot view of your life that puts things in perspective. We raised our arms in the air and ran into the bathwater-like Atlantic Ocean, yelling, "Fuck pandemics!" as we went, kicking off 6 days of utter relaxation. As our stay progressed, we'd occasionally use the pregnancy news to get added perks or receive preferential treatment. As we checked in with the hostess at dinner, I said, my wife is pregnant, so. Then they showed us to the best table with the best views of the setting sun. Or when we wanted more beach towels than the allotted two, I said, so she's pregnant, so. Then they handed us over a pile. One day they were serving free ice cream on the beach. I approached and said, my wife is pregnant, so. And they hooked us up with an extra scoop. I also found that I could use Meredith's pregnancy to justify not ordering alcoholic drinks. At the time, I was 4.5 years sober, but I still occasionally felt like I had to explain why I didn't drink to strangers. I didn't want them thinking I was some sort of dork or religious zealot who hated fun. It's not that I don't love alcohol, it's that I love it too much, I'd explain, so I still looked like a complete badass. But now, I had a justifiable excuse for turning down alcohol, making me look like I was abstaining out of solidarity, not because I was a fall-on-my-face drunk. Care for a cocktail or some wine with dinner? They'd ask. Oh man, we'd usually love to. Big-time badasses over here. But she's pregnant, so. On one of our last days, Meredith and I were wading in the ocean when an especially cool-looking local approached. He asked if I partied and if I needed any weed and or cocaine. I should have said, nah, I don't smoke or do cocaine or drink. In fact, I'm 4.5 years sober, something that I'm secretly proud of because it was hard to quit since alcohol was such a major part of my identity and life. But instead, I gestured to Meredith, who was a bit further out in the water, and said, I would usually love some weed or cocaine, but my wife is pregnant, so. The guy took one look at beautiful Meredith floating in the water like some sort of relaxed angel, then at my dumpy Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle body, and said, that's some great work there, my man. Then he gave me a fist bump, my first since the start of the pandemic. By the time our 6 days were up, most of the staff knew that Meredith was pregnant. Here our closest friends didn't even know about our news, and all these strangers on a sandy island in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean did. Pretty silly that they know and our friends don't, said Meredith. Yeah, totally, I said. Welp, let's get another round of free ice cream. The trip was exactly what we needed. Of course, we felt guilty for taking a vacation during a pandemic, but we had a hard year, certainly not as hard as other people's, but the whole thing made us realize that we had a lot to be thankful for and a lot to look forward to. I mean, we were having a kid, knock on wood, a little buddy who we had no choice but to love unconditionally. If the pandemic taught us anything, it's that adding unconditional love to your life is never a bad thing. I'm glad we did this, I said as we walked to the plane to fly back to reality. My sun-kissed face was covered by my N95 mask and face shield. My Purell leathered hands were glistening in the sun. So am I, said Meredith. One of Meredith's many superpowers is that she can sleep anywhere, often dozing off in seconds. Once we were in the air, right after our first round of beverages, she was out, sleeping for two. After I chugged my ginger ale and inhaled my bag of mini pretzels, I flagged down the flight attendant. "Can I get more pretzels?" I asked. She gave me a "take it easy, fat ass" look. So I pointed to Meredith one last time and said, "My wife is pregnant, so..." She returned with three bags. We flew home recharged, feeling more ready for all to come. This has been Peter Pan Man Dan, a Mangano Movies and Media podcast. Thanks for listening.